If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
We have made it, ladies and gentlemen, to the top 10 of the 49ers roster countdown. And I know some of you guys have been with us this whole stinking way. And to you, salute, my friends, and appreciate you. The amount of work we put on our end, I do understand that it takes time going through 91 of these videos. We got 10 left. And then once you get to the top 10, it kind of changes. These are the blue chippers. These are the everything of everything. These are the household names. And Renardo Green comes in number 10. It's only his sophomore season. And I think if anything kind of highlights how important Renardo Green is to the 49ers 2025 season, when Robert Saleh returned, one of the questions that was asked was, how does the 2025 49ers defense stack up to 2027? Are they similar? Robert Saleh said, you know, quote, no. From a talent standpoint, Nick Bosa is here. You've obviously got Fred Warner, Diamondor Lenore, and Renardo Green. There's a lot of really good talent on this defense, so it's not nearly what 2017 was, end quote. Like, Renardo Green's part of the crew, the big four. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Diamondor Lenore, Renardo Green. Outside of that, maybe you could throw Malik Mustafa in there, but the injury, like, there are four. That's seven spots out of 11 you got to figure out on this defense, but there are four stalwarts, if you will. Now, the biggest issue with Renardo Green, injuries. Now, he's got an issue right now, and he's not even, they thought he was going to be back this week for Raiders joint practices. He's not yet. They're hoping he will return. As of this recording, Renardo Green has not returned, but they're expecting within the week. And really, he didn't miss time last season. He played in all 17 games, but he didn't finish a lot of games. A lot of kind of bumps, bruises, kind of scares, whatever, where he wouldn't finish the game three or four times, just didn't finish the game or left for a quarter, then came back. Like, how does he get to the point? He played 17 games. That's huge. Like, that is a monumental task in and of itself. But how does he get to the point where, man, you don't have to worry about this bang-up stuff, and you can just keep playing and stacking days, stacking games, because the tape is awesome. You know, Ed, you could just look. Last year, you know, he was a second-round pick. I was shocked. He went a little bit earlier than I thought, but I was wrong. I'm wrong all the time. I had a high fourth-round grade. He went into the second round. I had quite a few corners, you know, stacked up against him. Turns out, like, man, he should have been in that group. So I was a full round off on him. He was 26 on the countdown as a rookie because you knew he was going to have to play. Now, I thought he was going to play nickel. That's where the 49ers put him right off the bat. But they said, you know what? We're going to keep Demo in at nickel. We're going to keep Renardo Green outside. And that just seems to be the case. And then you go to Robert Saleh joining the 49ers this offseason. They added four new nickels. So Renardo Green's playing outside corner, which is interesting because he's 6'1", 186. I do believe, and again, this is not a scientific study, I think the 49ers have the smallest cornerback starting tandem in the NFL. Like, Demo small for a corner. Renardo Green, again, Demo started at nickel, then played outside, right? Renardo Green started at nickel, then played outside. Then you add Upton Stout. He's nickel only right now. Like, you're talking about all under 200 pounds, all under 190. Maybe they've gained some weight since the combine. But 6'1", 186, Renardo Green. He's small, 31-inch arms, tiny. He's only 24 years old. That's a huge upside. He ran a 4.4940, which meets, you know, requirements, 1.53 10-yard. That's great. So the acceleration is better than the top-end speed, 37.5-inch vertical, 10-10 broad jump. He was a long jumper, over 21 feet long jumper in high school. So the athleticism is there. Now, go to Mock Draftable. You plug in his metrics. Pretty interesting. Terrion Arnold, who was a first-round pick, 98.2% match athletically measurables. Chase Lucas, who's on the roster, 93.3. Jalen Johnson, 86.1. Now, the play style, I don't put him with Terrion Arnold, Chase Lucas, or Jalen Johnson. I think he's much more of a Cam Smith-type corner. The play style matches, I think he's better than Cam Smith. But that's just kind of what he reminds me of. Now, you go back to his background, high school for Renardo Green, attended, man, I'm going to mess this up, Wekiva High School in Apopka, Florida. He started as a quarterback, as a freshman, and, you know, born in Orlando, all that stuff. He born in the year 2000, if you want to feel like horrible about yourself. We got 2,000-year-old babies, you know, the year 2000 babies, millennial, whatever. That's crazy to me. And, you know, he was the number 46 corner prospect, three-star recruit, was pretty good in high school, led his high school to 11-2 record, helping the Mustangs to, you know, a regional final. And, you know, he chose Florida State over Ohio State, which I think is interesting. And, you know, he talked about his family, they're Florida State fans, being, you know, born in Orlando, that's going to lead to some of that. But size has always been an issue from outsiders on Renardo Green, myself included. When they drafted him, I was like, man, this guy's going to be a nickel only. Wrong. In today's NFL, that's not what it is. And when Renardo Green was asked about his size and if that could be a problem, he said, quote, nah, I don't never think about that. How I see it, it's me versus you. So if you step in front of me, I'm going to show you what time it is, end quote. Like, the mentality fits. And one of his best games was against one of the largest wide receivers in the NFL, DK Metcalf. You remember that elite interception that iced that game in October? I was there in Seattle. It was incredible. The only 49ers divisional win all year, which is awful, but whatever. Like, his best games are against some of the most physical guys. You go back to college, his best games were against Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., and Ricky Pearsall. Who's now his teammate, right? So now let's go through his college, Florida State kind of career trajectory. 2019, played in 13 games just as a backup, mostly special teamers. Got some rotational snaps as a freshman. 2020, started first of the five games, but kind of got relegated after that. 2021, played in 9 games with 2 starts, earning back that respect. Special teams. But the last 2 years, 2022 and 2023 at Florida State, 25 starts. I mean, honorable all-ACC. He was Florida State's defensive most improved player award recipient in 2022. Then he comes back in 2023, Thorpe Award semifinalist. He won the Don Powell Award, which goes to the Seminole unsung hero, who I guess didn't get the most credit, unsung hero. Like, that's what it is. And locked down Malik Nabers. Like, probably his best game. We have that game up. If you really want to get excited about Renardo Green, go watch that again. You know, Malik Nabers is a beast. And Green was on him. Malik Nabers got targeted 6 times, allowed 3 catches for 28 yards, and got a pick. Dude was awesome. And in his pro day interview after the combine, before the draft, he said, quote, there's still a lot more plays I could have made out there, but just being able to play my first 2 full seasons last 2 years of college was a big help for me to showcase my abilities, what I can do. I feel like my best ball is yet to come, end quote. That's been proven true in a very short time. The Niners drafted Renardo Green 64th overall, again, at the end of that second round. Here's our pre-draft write-up, the 49ers rush team, before he ever took a snap for the Niners. Can play all cornerback spots, but I think nickel is his best fit. It seems like I was wrong there, but the Niners did start him at corner. Pesky corner that just bothers wide receivers. No issues with toughness when taking on blocks or helping in the run game. Kid is tough, just absorbs wide receiver speed on routes. Probably one of my favorite traits of his thing. He's a 4.49 guy. That's, you know, about average speed for a corner. But what he does better than is he just takes the speed away from the wide receiver. It's incredible.
Wish he had more slot work, as I think Nichols is best fit. I was wrong. Very good in man. Just makes life hard on wide receivers. Plays way bigger than 186 pounds. That is proven true in the NFL as well. Lack of interceptions is an issue, but the pass breakups are insane. And guess what? Broke the 49ers franchise record for rookie pass breakups with 13 his rookie year. The most ever. Most ever. And I wasn't sure he's going to get it, but the week 18, he had three pass breakups. In the one game against Arizona, we got blown out that game, but to break the record. So now he owns that rookie record, most pass breakups in all of 49ers franchise history. And you got to think, like, there's been some Ronnie Lott started as a rookie for the 49ers. You know what I'm saying? Not putting him in that category, but dude showed up and played lights out as a rookie. My traits and how we rated him: recovery speed 7, footwork 9, definitely his best trait, ball skill 6, strength 5, tackling 7, run support 7, 49ers fit, I gave a 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10, because I thought he was a little bit more of a nickel, not outside guy, but really, really high on that scale. Gets signed by the 49ers. He's made $2.2 million so far. He's got about $4 million left on his rookie contract that he can make. If he keeps playing all these games, he'll make that and then some. The trajectory on Renardo Green is immense. Gotta stay healthy. Gotta stay healthy. Started 7 games last year. 675, because he was the number 3 corner, right? So the starts is, if that first play of the game was an 11 personnel, 3 wide receiver look. Because the starters were D'Amador Lenore and Charvarius Ward. So, but he played in all 17 games. 675 snaps, nice, 61 tackles, 13 passes defended, 49ers franchise rookie record, 1 forced fumble, an interception that was against DK Metcalf. His PFF grades last year, awesome, 69.2 overall, solid. His coverage grade was at 74.3. That's 22nd best of all the cornerbacks that took snaps. 223 corners took snaps. He's 22nd best as a rookie. And that's with the worst 49ers defensive coordinator in the history of the program. I will fight on that hill. Sorensen's terrible. Now he gets upgraded to Robert Saleh. That's huge. He had a forced incompletion rate, and I think this is one of the things that the Niners love. 17.5%. So on those targets, basically 2 out of 10, he's forcing an incompletion. That's 11th best for all defensive backs. Safeties, corners, you name it. Just continues to just kind of ball out. Just got to stay healthy. He's not practicing right now. And the practice where he got injured, he was the player of the day. Was out there, pass breakups galore. Just got to stay healthy. Just got to stay healthy. And so the 49ers are putting a lot of stock in D'Amador Lenore and Renardo Green. Behind them, there's a bunch of guys. You're hoping Upton Stout. Like, Chase Lucas was awesome first preseason game. Trey Brown's look good. Dallas Flowers look good. Like, perhaps a little bit more depth at that corner spot than you initially thought, than kind of the salary paid out. 49ers went bargain bin price, you know, shopping at this position. But they're thinking D'Amador Lenore and Renardo Green, those two elite guys, are enough to carry this defense. Renardo Green and Demo stay healthy, I agree. If one of those guys are out, you're kind of got patchwork on that back end, and that could be an issue. Renardo, top 10, baby. Got to say thank you to Ben for helping write today's episode and for us and the 49ers Rush team. We only got 9 more of these puppies. We're going to keep counting them down. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is just starting. But you can already make season-long, more or less picks for the 2025 season on Prize Picks. Enter your picks before week 1 kicks off. And there's already so many fun ones up there. Saquon Barkley, more or less than 1,475 rush yards. Josh Allen, more or less than 27.5 passing touchdowns. You want to pick your favorite 49ers, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, all those things, they are up there now. My favorite thing about using Prize Picks is just how quick and simple it is. Pick 2 to 6 players, their stat projections more or less, and if you get the picks right, you can cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. Prize Picks is also the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your very first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. You know what's funny? Last year on the roster countdown, I felt like we had Pooney almost too high when we did our initial ranks. And you know, we went through, it was before training camp started, all that stuff. We do it right after the draft. We had him ranked 31, and we're always, you know, as a 49ers collaborative, 49ers Rush team, we're always high on rookies. We bump them up too much, and it's one of my biggest criticisms. But in the case of Dominic Pooney, we were not. We ranked him 31, which I was like, man, I don't even think he's going to start early, whatever else. Nope. Started every single game, 17 games. Played 98% of the offense's snaps and was just incredible. And so he makes the fourth largest jump of any player from 2024 to 2025. He was 31 last year. He jumps 22 spots into the top 10, number 9 overall. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. And after just 1 year, the consistency, that is the thing that jumps off the tape. Now, the rookie year was awesome. A borderline Pro Bowl year. You look at the analytic numbers. We'll jump into those. Basically a top 10 guard. But it's hard for rookies to get that much without the publication and popularity and whatever else. But fringe Pro Bowler, as a true rookie and a consistent player on the 49ers offensive line, was god-awful. It was so bad. No Trent Williams for a lot of it. Jake Brindle's Jake Brindle. Colt McKivitz actually played his best year, but the left guard position was a nightmare. I think he had five different starters at that position. But Dominic Pooney, the rookie, he came in, and he's one of two rookies that have started for the 49ers week one in the past four seasons. There's only two of them. One of them was Spencer Burford, and then Dominic Pooney took Spencer Burford's job whenever he got injured. That's it. Two guards. It's offense, defense, whatever. A quote-unquote starter week one as a rookie. There's only been two. Hopefully, Dominic Pooney doesn't go the same route that Spencer Burford went and kind of regress and whatever else. But the consistency of his tape is just too damn good. It's too good. And, man, you want to talk consistency, listen to the rankings and our four ballots on where Dominic Pooney should be. 9, 10, 10, 11. Add all those up, and we put the point system and all that stuff. Comes out 9th on the 49ers roster countdown for 2025. And he's just such a keystone piece. And a lot of people are like, well, let's move him to tackle. Let's move him to center. Chris Forster came out and said that would be a huge disservice to Dominic Pooney playing two separate positions in his first 2 years. Allow him to develop. This is what's best for Dominic Pooney. This is what's best for the 49ers short-term and long-term. And it's nice to balance the offensive line. You got Trent Williams, amazing at left tackle. Right guard, you got Dominic Pooney. You're kind of balancing it out. And, you know, you proved last year Dominic Pooney not only was incredible and reliable and consistent, he helped Colton McKivitz have the best year of his career so far. So that stability, that partner tandem on the right side, Imagine that not being a weakness. You get some quality play from left guard, center, probably not going to happen this year. Left tackle, obviously, is going to be with Trent Williams. Like, now you have some pieces. You at least got 60% of your offensive line established for the 2025 season with Trent Williams, Dominique Pooney, Colts McKins. That's three quality starters. Left guard, we'll see. Injuries just continue to stack up there. Connor Colbert's look good. Drew Moss's look good. Center, 32-year-olds don't usually improve a lot, but consistent pass pro, Jake Brindle, and he makes the right calls. That's a good thing. So let's dive into Dominique Pooney, who he is. He wears jersey number 77, 6'5", 313. Big dude, 33 3/8-inch arms, which used to be kind of a misnomer. You know, this draft class that just came out of offensive tackle, a lot of short arm guys. And so could Dominique Pooney play tackle? I think he could. I'm not sure that's his best spot. If you're going to move him from guard, I think center would be where you would go, but that's not happening this year. He's 25 years old. You have him under contract for three seasons. That is awesome. Only had his rookie year done. 5'3", 40-yard dash, decent. 1.86 10-yard. That's solid. 3-cone, 7-4, great. Change of direction, short shuttle. That's the Niners' MO. 30-inch vertical, 8'11 broad jump, good. 26 bench reps, good. Put all of his measurables into mockdraftable.com. Austin Corbett, that's a comparable. Ben Nichols, Lucas Nix. Yeah, that is the Shanahan staple interior offensive lineman that can kind of do it all. Missouri boy, went to Francis Howell High School in Cottville, Missouri. Then he goes to college at Central Missouri, was there for 3 years, transferred to Kansas, and performed very, very well in his 2 years at Kansas. Born in St. Charles, Missouri, and man, you go back, his high school career never allowed a sack. Then whenever he transfers to Kansas, two seasons starting in the Big 12 at left tackle, allowed zero sacks in the final two seasons combined. Like, he's done well. Now, goes to the pros, he allowed three sacks his rookie year, but let's be honest, that's pretty damn good for a rookie, you know, that was drafted, you know, round three or four. I think, oh man, I don't want to be wrong on this one. I want to make sure I get that right. Yeah, he was drafted in the third round, pick 86. I thought so. Day two. All 12, you know, Big 12 honorable mention. Finalist for the Polynesian College Football Player of the Year in 2023. First team all Big 12 conference in 2023. It's just a trajectory of improvement consistently. And he comes from a family of footballers, man. His cousins, A.J. Epinesa, who was a second-round pick defensive end for the Bills. His two brothers, Derek and Devin, both played for Central Missouri. His brother, Derek, got signed as an undrafted free agent with the Cowboys. His sister, Brianna, played college football at Illinois State and Eastern Michigan. Yeah, that's a lot of athleticism, and he's got that in spades. Now, he did miss the 2021 season with a knee injury. Hasn't missed a game since. Three consecutive game seasons, two in the Big 12 and then one in the NFL without missing a game. So three straight seasons, that's in the past. You know, Dane Brugler was pretty high on him. Had him ranked as the 56th overall player. 49ers got him at 86. And he's the highest player drafted from KU since Aqib Talib all the way back in 2008. Listen to this true diversity. 27 starts at left tackle. 13 starts at left guard, 3 starts at right guard, steps up for the 49ers, 17 straight starts at right guard. Like, he's got the versatility. This is our pre-draft write-up on Dominique Pooney. Really good size and metrics for a guard prospect, probably going to kick inside, played a lot of left tackle, but the arms and lack of mobility, he plays a little heavy-footed out there on the edge. Now, he gets to the second level fine, but you don't see the prototypical feet, light-footedness, quick-footedness of a tackle prospect in the zone scheme. But after a year, I think he could do it if you wanted him to. Built for a gap scheme. Did use his shoulder pads way too much in college. That seems to have been correct and coached out of him. Sometimes his tape says he can play tackle. Very next play says no way. Plays way too tall. That was a problem his rookie year. He likes to pull and block in space. Acceleration's an issue. Once he is moving, though, not bad mobility. The 49ers traded up to go get him. Traded with the Philadelphia Eagles. Usually that doesn't go well. Worked out well. They gave up picks 94 and 132 to move up to get him at pick 86. Absolutely home run. I would argue the best pick of the 2024 draft class. It's still early. Ricky Pearsall could, you know, Renardo Green, obvious, Malik Mustafa. That draft class was badass. I would argue it rivals 2019 draft class. But in 2019, they were picking at the top. They got Nick Bosa, Dre Greenlaw, Debo. That was a pretty damn good draft class. But they were picking at the top of the round. 2024, they're picking at the end, picking at the very end. Now, his coaches rave about how he could play all five positions. And, you know, that's huge, the versatility. You know, Pooney, whenever he was asked about the 49ers, he said, quote, "They saw me more as an interior guard or center, being able to help on the inside, tackle in a pinch," end quote. That's exactly right. I think that's what it is. Shanahan said, quote, "Most of his clips are at tackle. When we picture his length and his quickness, we think we're going to start him off at guard. He played some center in the Senior Bowl. We think he have a best chance to play inside." That's where he played, right? And John Lynch talked about how he's a guy that could play all five. So maybe the eventual transition is to center when Jake Brendel experiment's over. I don't know when that's going to be. But maybe, but at least you got a guy. You've got a guy. And he played 1,161 snaps, 98% of offensive snaps, allowed three sacks, zero quarterback hits outside of those sacks, 35 hurries, seven penalties. That's a little bit of a misnomer. Like, that's got to get better. So exceeded expectations, though, big time. And never looked back. If Spencer Burford broke his hand in camp, Dominic Pooney started getting reps. And we're kind of bearing fruit now. Like, just, you know, as of this recording, whenever I'm recording this, Ben Bartsch got hurt in camp today. Connor Colby, the rookie, stepped in at left guard with the first team. Who knows? Maybe that's the ideal situation. You get these two young guards that are prototypical fits. That'd be incredible. Connor Colby looked amazing in the preseason. You pair these young pups together at guard, oh, that would be awesome. Now, Dominic Pooney has the chance to be a top five guard. I would argue he's probably 10 to 15 last year, was the Pro Football Writers all-rookie team last year. Look at his PFF scores. 80.5 overall, that's the 10th highest for a guard. Not rookie, any guard in the NFL. 68.9 pass blocking, 37th best for a guard. That's where the improvement can happen. But 81.5 run block, 10th best grade for any guard. Borderline Pro Bowler. Needs some more popularity. And if you're looking at expectations for next year, I don't think All-Pro is a possibility. I mean, I guess it is. But establish yourself as a Pro Bowler first. Those Pro Football Writers don't usually watch a lot of guard play, so to vault into the All-Pro category, I'm not going to give the voters that much credit in watching, you know, all 22 in the end zone view. They don't do that. Some might. Very little do. So don't expect Dominic Pooney to get that establishment yet. Even if it's deserved, don't expect that. I hope that makes sense. I'm not trying to be too negative there. Signed a four-year, $5.7 million deal. Had about $1 million signing bonus. He collected $1.78 million last year. So he's still got about $4 million left to earn on that rookie deal. And he's on pace to get paid. 17 starts. Gotta love that. And already a fan favorite. Just cool dude. You know, I've been out at training camp. And whenever he comes up to sign autographs, everybody's clamoring his name. Because a lot of times what happens is the players will walk over to the big group of, you know, spectators, fans, whatever. And a lot of times the kids and the fans don't know who the player is when their helmet's off or their jersey's off. They come over in their shirt and shorts. Everybody knows who Dominic Pooney is. So you love that he's already established with the fan base, the kids. People are showing how great respect that he deserves. Man, if you told me right now you could carbon copy 2024 Dominic Pooney and get the exact same season in 2025, sign me up 10 out of 10. But I think that there's still more meat on the bone. I think that he can improve. I think that even though he's incredibly consistent, had a rough game against the Rams, he struggled with those kind of power interior defensive tackles from time to time. If he can elevate that, I think that could be huge. And so you look at the Seahawks, you look at, you know, the Rams in division, they've got those power defensive tackles. Kobe Turner, Leonard Williams, like there's some players there that you've got to kind of overcome. So Dominique Pooney's going to have those matchups, and I hope that he improves at that point. But, man, he is awesome. Number 9 on our countdown, and just an absolute freaking stud. I expect great things from him, and I hope that he stays as durable and as consistent and just improves kind of the penalties and the hurries and the pass protection. Outside of that, man, Pro Bowl level guard that you got in the third round. Incredible. Dominique Pooney, hopefully you're higher on this list next year. I don't know how he's going to do that, but that would be badass. Shout out to Josh, who helped write this episode. And for us and the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down. Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. Gear up for another banger of a football season with a full-service sportsbook and casino in one. Whether you're firing off futures, betting the spread, spinning the slots late at night, everything runs through one account, one wallet, no switching apps. MyBookie has it all. Right now is the perfect time to get ahead of the curve with college football kicking off August 23rd. MyBookie's got national championship, Heisman odds already live. Lock in your picks early before the lines start moving. And if you're brand new, you get a little extra juice. Sign up with promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan this QR code next to me. Drop in $100. MyBookie adds $50 for free. Go bigger, get more for your money. The action's heating up, the odds are moving, and this season is shaping up to be a good one already. Don't miss it. Bet big anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, including California, with MyBookie. One of my favorite scouting concepts or terms is the wide receiver plus. These wide receiver players that, you know, can do everything a wide receiver could do, but their wide receiver pluses in the fact that they're almost like tight ends. The blocking, the physicality, the physically imposing their will against DBs, linebackers, even defensive ends. There is no one that fits that in the NFL more than number 8 on our 49ers roster countdown, Juwan Jennings. Dude is just a beast, but he's not practicing. As of the recording of this segment, he is still quote-unquote injured. But I think it's much more of a contract issue. Not to say that he did not injure his calf. That's not what I'm saying at all. I am saying the fact that he's not even out on the practice field until recently doing slight rehab work. It's a contract issue. And he has made that decision. That is my own personal interpretation of the situation. I'm not an insider. But it's kind of weird. And it does seem like this is going to be the last year of Juwan Jennings with the 49ers. Not so much because I want Juwan Jennings gone. That's not it at all. It's just reading the tea leaves. The 49ers paid Brandon Ayuk. Shit enough. You know, I was one of the ones that was saying, dude, pay Juwan Jennings a cheap contract, value contract, move on. Do not pay top-tier money for Brandon Ayuk, who I love Brandon Ayuk, but you paid him like he was a top-5 wide receiver in the NFL. He is not that. And then the injury and the drama and all that stuff. But Juwan Jennings got drama too. But you could have got a value deal. So you look at the 49ers roster, Ayuk is now signed for another 4 seasons. Ricky Pearsall has 4 more seasons under contract if you use the 5th-year option. Demarcus Robinson is poised to be the wide receiver 3 for this year and next year. Jacob Cowing, young guy, can he develop? Jordan Watkins showed a lot of promise early. Can he stay healthy and develop? That's your wide receiver room moving forward. The 49ers have built this roster on compensation picks and allowing developing these late-round guys, which Juwan Jennings was a 7th-round pick. And then whenever they leave and get paid, you get the compensation pick and you bolster your roster younger and cheaper is the Jed York mantra for 2025. It's just what it is. And so it fits into that. And I love Juwan Jennings. I wish that he would stay, but I do not want to pay the $12 to $16 million, might even get more than that, on the open market for Juwan Jennings. And what's that role going to look like long term? You have so much salary cap wrapped up in the wide receiver position. You're paying Ayuk so much, such a bad contract. But Juwan Jennings has flourished, and last year was a breakout year. You just look at the 49ers roster countdown. 2022, he was 25th. 2023, he was 24th. Last year, he was 25th, but then all the injuries happened. Now he's all the way up to 8th, the highest he has been at any point in the 4 seasons we've done these roster countdowns. Where's jersey number 15? Everybody knows him as 3rd and Juwan. That is awesome, and he always shows up in the most clutch moments. 6'3", 215, big wide receiver. 31-inch arms, that's interesting. He just turned 28 just a month ago. So, you know, right at that 28-year, like if you're going to sign him long-term, a 30-year wide receiver that is slow to start with. He ran a 4.72. That's the bottom 2 percentile of all wide receivers. Like, he is slow, but that's not how he wins. He wins with physicality. He wins with craftiness, really good at stemming his routes, all those things. 1.58, 10-yard, not awful. 29-inch vertical, terrible, bottom 2%. 9.11 broad jump, all right. Going into his sixth season, but this is kind of a weird season because he is either one, and what happens when Ayuk comes back? That's kind of the thing. When Ayuk comes back and Ricky Pearsall, let's just assume, kind of stakes that number two, is Juwan Jennings just going back to being a number three in the slot wide receiver only that only gets 20 snaps a game? 49ers run the fewest 11 personnel sets, the fewest three wide receiver sets in the NFL. What is the long-term role here? I don't see it. I want Juwan Jennings to go get paid elsewhere. I want Juwan Jennings to go to be a number two wide receiver else. Like, teams would be happy to have that. There's guys like Mike Vrabel in this league that would love to have him right now. Jim Harbaugh would love to have – the 49ers would love to have him. But the way that you've constructed this roster, the position's kind of already spoken for, younger and cheaper. From Murfreesboro, Tennessee, spent many a summers there building apartments with my dad, Blackman High School, and, you know, he was a basketball stud. His whole family, basketball and elite athletes. He played basketball in high school, won a state championship. He was a top 200 basketball recruit, averaged 12.3 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists in a game, and his family, dad's a 4-year letterman at the University of Northern Alabama. He's in UNA's Hall of Fame. He was a first-team All-American 3 years in a row. Absolute stud. Older sister played college basketball at Kentucky and South Carolina. You're talking two of the top five programs to a second-team All-SEC honors. And now back to Juwan Jennings. He was a quarterback. He was a quarterback in high school, threw for over 2,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, led his team to a state championship as a quarterback in safety. He was Mr. Tennessee football. Mister in 2014. Like, this dude could do whatever the hell he wanted to. And Alabama wanted him. Penn State wanted him. Ohio State wanted him. He chose to stay home at Tennessee. Goes there as a quarterback recruit. Transitions as a freshman to wide receiver. And funny enough, guess who his quarterback was? Pastor Josh Dobbs. One of the greatest college football plays of all time. Type in Hail Mary Tennessee. You'll see the Josh Dobbs walk-off Hail Mary touchdown to Juwan Jennings, literally one of the best college football plays of all time. Now, his college career was checkered, and in the past, whenever we do this background rundown on Juwan Jennings, we would always say, yeah, well, this is behind him. I don't know if it is now. He got kicked off of Tennessee for what he put out there on social media. He made fun of the coaches, calling the coaches, quote, fake lying snakes, and the coaches were holding them back, and to bring us a coaching staff that's honest, end quote. Coaching staff kicked him off. Everything kind of hit the fan. All the coaches get fired, not because of him. There's a lot of bad things going on. New coaching staff gets hired. They bring him back. Sure enough, he's the captain, has a great senior year, gets drafted. He was on the Biletnikoff Award watch list, Senior Bowl selection. Niners love that. And whenever he left Tennessee, fifth all-time in receptions, touchdowns, and fourth in yards. This dude had a hell of a college career. He's just slow. And so in today's NFL, speed kills. And not a lot of people gave him a chance. The 49ers took him in the seventh round. And, you know, if we just look at where he was drafted, it's funny because the 49ers, it wasn't even one of their original picks. They traded Eli Harrell, the pass rusher, to the Detroit Lions for that seventh pick. And turned around and took Juwan Jennings in the 2020 draft in the seventh round. He was the 33rd wide receiver selected. You look at that draft class now, he has the 10th most receiving yards. I freaking love that. Just under 2,000 total yards. But, you know, again, he almost had 1,000 yards last year by himself, by that season by himself. He's become one of the most popular 49ers players out there. Third in Juwan, I mean, just the toughness. Everything that he brings, It's the epitome of old school football, which you got to love. Amazing blocker, extremely physical. He'll fight. He draws penalties all the time. And he does the same thing in practice. You'll be out there at training camp, and anytime there's a dust up, 1-5 is going to be involved some way or another. Now, he just smiles, and you can always see him with his dyed hair, whether it's red, green, blue, whatever. Personality off the charts. Just high energy guy and just fun as hell. Now, he's a wide receiver leader and kind of a character leader in the room, but he wants to be paid and reflected at that, as that. And I don't know if this process he's going through is the best thing for him, but he's fighting for generational wealth. And who are we to say? And, you know, you look, he's only made, he's made $10 million in his career, $10.4 million. This dude is on the cusp of getting a $12 to $18 million per year. This contract matters. That is generational wealth that he can achieve for his family. I get it. I wish the Niners would just bump him an extra $2.5 million fully guaranteed into the last year of his deal and say, look, we're going to let you move on and get paid, but we want you to be happy. Let's get out there and start practicing. But doesn't seem like the 49ers are going to budge. I hope that I am wrong. Now, you look at just what he's accomplished in his career. His first year, didn't play at all and got cut. Had a hamstring, real bad hamstring, never played, gets cut, brought back to the practice squad. They signed him to a future contract in 2021, finally wins that wide receiver kind of three job, 24 catches, 2021 year, 24 catches, 282 receiving yards, five touchdowns, one start in 16 games. And, you know, his best game was that week 18 game against the Rams. We were there. I was there with the 49ers rush road trip. We were there. And that was like, if you don't win, you go home. And he goes out there and has his best game up to that year. Six catches, 94 yards, two touchdowns. A game-tying touchdown. It was awesome. Then you go to overtime and you win it with the walk-off interception. 2022, his second year, 35 catches, 460 yards, one touchdown, four starts, played in 16 games. 2023, the year the Niners go to the Super Bowl, 19 receptions, 265 yards, one touchdown. But then he gets to the Super Bowl and probably would have been Super Bowl MVP. Had that touchdown pass to CMC, 21-yard touchdown pass, had a 10-yard touchdown reception, and is one of only two players in Super Bowl history to have a touchdown pass and a touchdown reception. He had four catches, 42 yards in that Super Bowl as well. Probably would have been Super Bowl MVP if the 49ers won. They didn't. The rest is history. Okay? And now you know the rest of the story. Anyway, then 2024, the injuries to IU, Debo's not affected. Ricky Pearsall gets shot. The 49ers have to rely. They changed Juwan Jennings to an X. Dire straits mode, and he proved he could do it. 77 receptions. 77. More than he had done in the previous 4 years combined. 77 catches on 113 targets, 975 yards. Should have hit 1,000. That Cardinals game, I was there. I was really pissed off. He just blocked too hard, played too tough, and, you know, got two personal foul penalties, which was a joke, and got, you know, kicked out in the first half and just would have been able to eclipse 1,000. I hate that that happened for him. 12.7 yards per catch, six touchdowns, started 10 games, played in 15. And probably the best game of his career was the Rams game last year. Somehow the 49ers still lost. He had 11 catches, 175 yards, and three touchdowns in that very first Rams game. First time since Jerry Rice that a 49ers wide receiver had over 10 catches, over 150 yards, and three touchdowns. Dude was unbelievable. And then the Bears game shortly after that, seven catches, 90 yards, two touchdowns. Like, he was the number one last year, period. Period. Not the vertical field stretcher that you usually get with the next wide receiver, but it doesn't matter. You got to have somebody out there you can trust, Juwan. You can trust him. Now, what are you going to get this year? You going to play? Is he injured? What happens when Ayuk comes back halfway through the year or November? I mean, ideally you want what Juwan Jennings is your X. You want Ricky Pearsall as your Z, and then you want DeMarcus Robinson as kind of your number three. And when you go three wide receiver sets, you put DeMarcus Robinson at the X, kick Juwan Jennings into the slot like he's used to. But Juwan Jennings, you want out there. Who knows what is going to happen with this 49ers wide receiver room? Almost the whole damn room's injured or has been injured. You got to get Juwan Jennings out there. And I hope that he signs, you know, gets a little bit extra money. I don't think it's going to be a long-term deal. But I love this dude, and he deserves it all. I wish they would come to a compromise on just bumping up his guaranteed money this year, kind of like what they did with Raheem Mostert about 4 years ago. Make him happy. Let him go sign elsewhere. Get that kind of fourth to fifth round comp pick back whenever you lose him, and allow him to be a wide receiver too, which he is not going to be with the 49ers. He's not. Love you, JJ. You're a stud, but we got to get you out there practicing and getting ready for the season. He's the number eight. Number eight on most important 49ers player for the 2025 season, and he's not out there. That is a killer. I have to say thank you to Josh, executive producer of today's show, and for us and the 49ers Rush team, we're going to keep counting them down.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.